Today we continue our sermon series called Mythbusters. We're looking at statements that Christian people often say, usually with the best of intentions, but don't always explore the deeper meaning. And although these statements have some truth to them, they may not be entirely truthful. They might even be painful. The idea for this sermon series is based off a book by Adam Hamilton called Half-Truths. Last week, we looked at everything happens for a reason. And we agreed together that that is not a truth, but no matter what happens, God is with us. Next week, we're going to look at God won't give us more than we can handle. But today, we're going to look at this. God helps those who help themselves. God helps those who help themselves. How many of you believe that's true? How many of you do, but you're afraid to raise your hand? Did you know that the phrase, God helps those that help themselves, is not a passage from Scripture at all? The phrase actually dates back to the 5th century, and it has its origins in Greek mythology. It became popular in 1736 when the phrase was written verbatim by Benjamin Franklin in Poor Richard's Almanac. In one sense, this phrase is absolutely true, and it captures a profound biblical truth. But in another sense, this phrase is not true, and it is the opposite of what the Bible teaches us. So let's begin by looking at these varying opinions about this phrase through a fable, the story of the ant and the grasshopper. We'll start first with how this statement is true. Once upon a time, there was an ant and a grasshopper, and they met on a long summer day. The grasshopper was enjoying the day, lying around, chatting with his friends. The ant, on the other hand, was very busy collecting food. Winter was coming, after all, and that ant, he wanted to be prepared. Well, when the cold, harsh winter came upon them, you know what happened. The grasshopper ended up being very hungry, but the ant had more than enough and feasted on all that he had collected. Now we can look at the story and we can say that God provided for the ant. God produced the food that was available, but the ant had to do its own part. The ant had to work to gather the food and to store it so that it would be available come winter. In the same way, when we sit down at a meal and we give thanks to God, our prayer isn't a prayer saying, God, thank you for taking this bread from heaven and putting it on the table hot and ready to eat. The prayer is more like this. God, thank you for the capacity and the opportunity for me to work so that I can buy this food and cook it. When I was a student, on a rare occasion, Mom and Dad, on a very rare occasion, I wouldn't study, and then I'd come to a test, and I would pray. I would pray something like this. God, you are the Almighty God, and as such, you can take the answers to that test, put them in my head and onto the paper. Please do that I might be more faithful to you. Well, God didn't typically answer that prayer in the way I wanted. Have you ever prayed that kind of prayer? Haven't we all? Hard work, not desperate hoping, is what usually pays off. We can't simply pray for food and then expect it to miraculously show up on our table, although miracles do happen. We can't pray for good grades without studying. We need to do our part. In that sense, God helps those who help themselves. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 to 12 says it this way, "Anyone unwilling to work should not eat. For we hear that some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. We command such persons and exalt them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work and to earn their own living." You see, God has given us the ability to use what we've been given, our hands, our minds, the wisdom of other people around us, to make things happen in our lives and in our world. Prayer and hard work together is a powerful combination. Indeed, God helps those who help themselves. The statement is true. But let's look at the other side of this statement, where it may not be so true or helpful. There are people who can't help themselves for one reason or another. Sometimes people are hungry or without a home or physically or mentally ill. What happens then? Typically, it's not that people who are homeless aren't doing what they should be to be caring for their own basic needs. Oftentimes, they can't, and there it is, that vicious circle that it's hard for them to get out of. And sometimes people don't simply have the resources spiritually, emotionally, or physically to help themselves. And sometimes, in order to find health and growth, we have to give up that illusion of feeling in control and seek the help of God and others, because the truth is that we can't do life all on our own. None of us can do life on our own. And this is where the phrase, God helps those who help themselves, falls short. And where Scripture tells us something very different. Scripture tells us that God helps those who cannot help themselves, usually through other people who can step in and do something. So back to our story about the ant and the grasshopper. The grasshopper began to get hungry when winter came. He got hungrier and hungrier, and he was willing to work then and was looking for sources of food, but there were no sources of food around. And so as he got hungrier and hungrier, he got weaker and weaker. Finally, the grasshopper went to the ant, who had abundance, and said, "Can't you give me some help with some food?" And the ant graciously shared from its bounty so that the grasshopper would live. What do you think about that ending? Now, please don't hear me say here that we should reward sloth. I'm hoping the grasshopper learned his lesson and next time will do his part. But the point is that God helps those who cannot help themselves, and God even helps those who by their own action or inaction may not seem to be deserving of help. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 22 tells us, "When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field or gather to the gleanings of your harvest. You should leave them for the poor and the alien." What this scripture is telling us today is that we who are landowners, we who have much or at least more than what we need, should leave a portion for those that do not have enough. We are reminded that Scripture calls us to be help to those who cannot help themselves. James writes these words at the end of the first chapter of his letter. "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God is this, to care for orphans and widows in their distress." Notice it doesn't say religion is believing this and not believing that. It says religion is action, caring for others. We provide care when we use the gifts and resources God has given us to help those who are in need. And when we together as a church combine together to make differences in the lives of those who are in need, empowering them to be able to help themselves and then even help others. God helps those who cannot help themselves. God does this by sending people like you. And like me, God touches our hearts and encourages us to use the gifts and resources God has given us to help others. You know, most of us are very willing to help people, aren't we? It's really easy to help them, those people who can't help themselves. It's not as easy to realize that sometimes we are the people who cannot help ourselves. We are the ones who need help. Here is another great truth. There will be times in every single one of our lives when we can't help ourselves, at least not on our own. God helps those who cannot help themselves, and sometimes those people are you, are me. Sometimes we sin. Through our action or inaction, dig ourselves into a pit that we can't get ourselves out of. Sometimes we are so sick, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, that we don't have the resources we need to help ourselves. Sometimes grief and pain come into our lives and grip us so profoundly that we find ourselves frozen. Sometimes we need doctors, surgeons, psychologists in order to help us heal and become well. Sometimes it isn't until we face the fact that we can't handle and control life all on our own that we begin to receive the help and hope and strength that God and God's people offer. Friends in Christ, here's the good news. When our life seems to be a mess and we don't know how to put it back together, God is there. When we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, God is present. When we feel helpless, hopeless, distraught, and totally overwhelmed, God is there. That's the message of Psalm 121. Listen again to the words that Gloria so beautifully read to us. I will lift my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. God helps those who cannot help themselves. Did you know that we have a wonderful word for that? For that experience when God pours out peace and love and compassion on us even when we're not expecting it, when we've done nothing to earn it or deserve it, when we're not even able to acknowledge it. And that word is grace. God is in the business of supplying us with grace upon grace, as we read in the first chapter of John's Gospel, that grace that comes to us even before we are aware of God and God's work in the world, that grace poured out upon us as we are forgiven and our relationships with God and others are restored, that grace that is made real through the ongoing experience of God's gracious people forming us into the people God created to be, that grace that tells us in the core of our being that no matter what, God created us as we are and accepted us as we are and calls us to go out into the world and care for and accept all people just as God accepts us. Grace upon grace. All this happens through God's work. Salvation and life, it's a gift of God. It is not our work, not something we earn ourselves. It's a gift that God offers people. God offers all people. And if God offers grace, and if God includes all, then our response to grace is offering grace and inclusion to all as well. So what are we to think about when we hear the phrase, God helps those who help themselves? In one sense, we can hear it and we can know that there is a certain truth to it. We are called by God to diligently work and use our gifts and abilities according to what God has given us. And in that sense, God calls us and helps those who help themselves. but in another sense. Before you let this phrase slip from your mouth, think more deeply about its meaning. Because sometimes people can't help themselves. And that's when it's so important to remember that God works through people like you and me to help others. That's when it's important to remember that our help comes from God who made the heavens and the earth. That's when it's important to remember God's wonderful, extravagant, abundant gift of grace. And to be willing to not only offer grace, but to be humble enough and open enough to receive it too. Here's the good news. God helps those who cannot help themselves. And we are blessed. So blessed. Because often God's help, it comes through you. Through you and me. Amen.